position as an adjective, you could, I would pick out one of them here. Let's look at this one. Free would mean not fixed in position. Not fixed in position. To put a sentence to that, as the dictionary did, the sentence was like this. He pulled his arm free and ran. He pulled his arm free and ran. Now, probably every one of us here this morning would just naturally in our mind think with that kind of a sentence, using the word free, that we're thinking in our mind that their arm was caught in something, and in order to free it, they pulled it out of whatever it was that was caught. Isn't that what you thought of when you heard that sentence? He pulled his arm free and ran. But with the changing of the definition of the word free, couldn't it also mean that as he pulled his arm free, he didn't pull it free from the thing that caught him, but maybe he pulled his arm free from his shoulder? Does it fit? Sure, it fits with new definition, with new defining parameters. I know a young man that used to be an employee of mine. At 17 years of age, he was drunk. And he thought he'd hitch a ride on a train. And so he jumped for the train and his hand latched onto the handle on the side of the train. And for some reason, the grip of his hand was tighter than the bone in his shoulder and it ripped his arm completely out of its socket. You see, he became free from the train. Yeah, you're snickering because that's such a bogus way of defining the word free. Another definition of free would be that it costs nothing. Something costs nothing. Free of charge. We all like that, don't we? Somebody said last night up on the hilltop, you can always get people together where there's free food. Have a church dinner and see. Something that costs nothing. Free of charge. It's a wonderful thing. That's why welfare was started. Because it's a wonderful thing to give out free things. But the problem with welfare is what? That in the midst of all the free things given, that it makes a person to be dependent upon the state. I'm not going political this morning. This is not a political rally. Okay? We're just talking about freedom. It's the 4th of July. We thank God for our freedom. Dependent on the state. Now, if you just sit and think about the meaning of welfare or being dependent upon the state, that really would mean that we have become, as a welfare recipient or as a person who is stuck in the traps of welfare, that they become a slave to whatever the state wants. Because they can't do anything without the state. Everything in their life revolves around the state. And we're finding that to be the case more and more in our country today. As our freedoms, as we have held them very dear in our grasp and held them very dear in our heart, we have been a free country, we have been a free people, and yet we are seeing freedoms changed because of the word free is being redefined in an attempt to make people dependent upon the state. I'm going somewhere. Just stay with me. Dependent upon the state means that we are chained or we are bound to something other than what was originally designed. Now, if we change the word freedom to the other side, we look at the opposite of freedom, we would probably come up somewhere in the midst of all of our conversations, and our defining words would probably somewhere along the line come up with the word bondage. We would hear it if we talked about everybody here would have an opportunity to say something about it. There would be the word bondage somewhere. Bondage would be what? Bondage is really nothing more than being enslaved, chained, bound, not able to do what I want to do, but I have to do what somebody else says for me to do. That's why at weddings you see the man with that ball and chain. You've never seen that before? Completely dependent is what we would think of as bondage or enslaved. You know, there's also times then when we, in our human mind, trying to picture things, trying to have a word picture, we might come up with this picture of bondage or slavery. A puppet on the end of a string. You seen those? You know the cross sticks with these strings sticking down in the puppet, and the guy up here is controlling his hand motions, his head motion, and his feet motion. Isn't that what we think of a lot of times as being in bondage? That's quite often what we think of. And when we think about a puppet on the end of a string, perhaps if you would allow your mind to go to scriptural pictures, you might come up with Joseph. Joseph was a free man, a free lad, until his brothers sold him into slavery. But slavery wasn't his lot for very long, because he was sold then to Potiphar, and Potiphar blessed his heart, blessed Joseph's life by making him the head of his household, as it were. Sounds good, doesn't it? If you spin it in the proper light, it sounds like Joseph had a primo spot in society. He was Potiphar's right-hand man, master of his household. Everything about Potiphar's life was at Joseph's fingertips. That sounds like a mighty good place. But the bottom line was still the same. He was a slave to Potiphar. He was really nothing more than the puppet at the end of Potiphar's strings. Except Joseph did say, "Master, we're going to do it this way." And so the master did it that way. It's not quite the full analogy of the puppet, but... And then we find that he was in the dungeon, and he wasn't a prisoner for very long. He became the jailer's right-hand man. Wow, this is pretty good, Joseph. You were brought in here as a prisoner, but now you are the jailer's right-hand man. The bottom line is still the same. He was still a prisoner. He was not allowed to come and go as he pleased from the jailhouse. He was enslaved. He was imprisoned. He was bound. Even though he had some freedoms, as it were, inside, he had some freedoms in the household of Potiphar, he was still a prisoner. He was still a slave. Now let's look at the puppet a little bit further. A puppet, by design, would be worthless without the strings. Imagine it. You got the puppet hanging, you take your scissors and you clip all those strings, and the puppet falls to the floor, falls to the ground, and that puppet becomes worthless. At least worthless to me. To Lydia, it could be a princess. Because to me, it would be a worthless doll. But to her, or someone like her, they would take up that little puppet and use it as their doll baby. But still, only able to move as the person holding it chose for it to move. You've heard this, the saying, the little cliche, no strings attached. The puppet had its strings cut. It could do as it pleased. That sounds good. That sounds wonderful. There's a lot of things in our life that we have in the back of our mind. I wonder what kind of strings are attached to this. No strings attached. Let's go to the scriptures this morning. The book of Job. Job chapter 33 and verse number 4. The Spirit of God hath made me. That's a pretty good statement. Now, we're not going to delve into the entire context here of what Job's saying. But he said, the Spirit of God hath made me, the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. You know what that's saying? The breath of the Almighty hath given me life. What that's saying is that we were created, we were by design a puppet on the end of the string of God's hand. Because without God's hand, we have no life. Without God's breath, we have no life. Without God in our lives, we do not live by our design. Just like the puppet does not live unless it's attached to the strings by design. Now let's flip over to Psalm 100. Psalm 100 verse 3. You probably pretty much have memorized this entire psalm. It's only 5 verses long. Verse number 3 though says this, "Know ye that the Lord He is God, it is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pastures." We are God's design. You and I were created by God. We are His people. We have become, or we are, His sheep. He formed us. See, that was His design. He formed us. He shaped us. He designed us. Now, it tells us that very clearly in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. No, it doesn't say it in those words. It says other words. The other words that He said there in Genesis is that we were created in His image. In God's image. You see, what that boils down to, really, in our simple lay terms, it would simply be that God made us as religious beings. Did you ever think about yourself as being religious, even before you were saved? We're religious beings. We are designed by God to have a God spot within us. Some people try to deny that. But when sin came into the world, sin brought about in the life of people, in the life of humanity, spiritual death, spiritual darkness, and spiritual emptiness. What was that all about? The God spot within us died. And when the God spot within us died, spiritual darkness came and spiritual emptiness came. Spiritual death was what governed the puppet at the end of the string. It has long been said, has long been understood, that there is a restless void within the heart, the innermost part of a person, that displays itself on a regular basis by the restless pursuit of happiness. It doesn't matter where you go. It doesn't matter what part of the world you go to. You will find the restless pursuit of happiness in the heart of every person. I don't know where the closest rich places. But I can assure you that if you were to go to Carmel, Indiana, which is a suburb of Indianapolis, a rich suburb of Indianapolis, you would find the restless pursuit of happiness there in the lives of people day in and day out. Those of you that have been to a third world country, a foreign country of some kind that is not considered to be as rich as the United States, you will find it to be prevalent there among poor people. I'm talking about poor people who have nothing, not poor people who live in the United States who are in the welfare state, as it were. But I'm talking about poor people that have a wooden hut, like down in Haiti, a wooden hut and very few clothes. But they've had their pursuit, that restless pursuit, and you'll see them sitting around on their cell phone. It was amazing to me, and some of you others as well that were there last year. Some of you have been to Brazil in the last few months, and to Guatemala not too long ago, and on we can go with people who have seen it time and time. It's not just for the rich people, but it's for every one of us. A restless pursuit of happiness, trying to find something to satisfy. Oh, if I could only have this, if I could only do that, then I'm going to be satisfied, I'm going to be happy. And on it goes, the pursuit, the restless pursuit of happiness. But as it is said and understood for a long time, that restless pursuit of happiness will never be satiated until it is found to be filled by God. It's been said over and over again. Satisfied. John chapter 8. We'll get to my text verse here. John chapter 8, verse 34. Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." Jesus didn't mince. He didn't beat around the bush. He came right down the pike and said it like it is, that if we are a sinner, if we are bound by sin, then ultimately the bottom line is we may think we're able to do as we please. We may have some enjoyment, as it were, but Jesus clearly said that it's a person is a servant to sin who commits sin. That's pretty straightforward. A puppet on a string. You see, we are puppets on a string. You and I, we may not like it so much, but you and I are a puppet on a string. We may not think of it that way. Maybe we would prefer to think on the negative side about the fly, the story about the fly and the fly paper. Have you ever heard the story of the fly and the fly paper? Nobody's ever heard it? I wish I had it. There's one. Wish I had it to read to you this morning. There's a couple of them here. Just a little shy on getting their hands up. Afraid I'm going to call on them to do something else. The story of the fly and the flypaper was, in short essence, the mother taught the little fly to stay away from that flypaper, that it's a dangerous place. It's a horrible place. Don't go near it. But the more that fly flew around and saw the flypaper, the more that he was enticed to land on the flypaper. And then he noticed that more and more people were landing. And more people that were landing made him think that surely it was a good thing to do. It was a fun thing to do. And then as he got closer, he realized that they were having fun because they were all dancing. And so he landed, only to find out that the reason for them dancing was them trying to loosen or free themselves from the bondage that came with the appealing thing that he thought he couldn't live without, flypaper. You see, that's sin. That's what it's all about, caught, enslaved. A servant to sin means that we are a servant, or a person is a servant to Satan. By design, we are sheep. Over and over again, Scripture tells us we are sheep. You say, "Well, preacher, you just said we were puppets." Well, let's look at the comparison real quick. How about a sheep and a puppet? What happens to sheep without a shepherd? The analogy is there. A sheep cannot function without a constant shepherd. You say, "Well, they have them all the time now." Yes, they have them in different forms of shepherds. Now they have fences And everything is set and everything is patterned, but the idea of the sheep is that it needs someone to lead them, someone to guide them constantly. What does that mean? It means that a sheep is really a puppet on the end of a string. You see, you and I now then have the choice of who is the one governing the sticks that control the strings that control our lives. A servant to sin, Satan controls. One of the biggest deceptive lies, one of the biggest lies of Satan is that the person that is controlled by him has all kinds of self-control, personal control. I can do it my way, I can do it the way I want to. But what comes to mind is something that is very common in humanity as well, and that is false peace, false freedom. Like Joseph in Potiphar's house, or Joseph in the dungeon. He had some freedoms, but it wasn't freedom by design of his Creator. A welfare state. Oh yeah, look at this. I can do all of this, and it doesn't cost me anything. I can do that, I can have that, and it doesn't cost me anything. But the cost goes far beyond the visual. But on the other hand, a servant of righteousness, then the one controlling the strings is God Himself, our Creator, who designed us. John chapter 8 again, verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, "If ye continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Those are beautiful words as we think about freedom. And all of our different ways of defining freedom. And in this age in which freedom is being redefined to mean something that really is not, when we know the truth shall make you free. But Jesus went a little bit further than that. Verse number 36, "If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." How do we get that? How do we understand that? Once again, the puppet on the end of the string, controlled by God the designer, gives us the freedom that by His design we ought to have. As He gives us life, breath, and movement, we are free. And only until we understand and know the truth will we have true freedom. You say, "What's crazy? I'm still on the end of a string." It's by God's design. God designed us that way. And the only way we will find freedom or rest is when we find it in Him. That's why the songwriter penned the words of the song that we sang this morning, "Glorious Freedom, Rapture Untold." Let's stand together.